Hi, I'm Reed Keating, and this is Free Enterprise in 3 minutes. In this 183rd episode, we're going to turn to an economic history lesson. In particular, we're going to look at the 1920s. But first, we have to set the table. Americans and the U.S. economy had been hit hard by World War I, with the U.S. directly involved from April 1917 until the war's end in November 1918, as well as by the influenza pandemic, which went from March 1918 into early 1919. And all of this came on the heels of the imposition of a federal corporate income tax in 1909 and an individual income tax in 1913. Whew! The 16th Amendment, which allowed for a personal income tax, was ratified in February 1913 at the close of President William Howard Taft's Republican administration. President Woodrow Wilson and his fellow Democrats in Congress, they didn't waste much time. Wilson signed the personal income tax into law in October 1913 with rates ranging from 1% to 7%. Now, guess what? The top rate was increased to 15% in 1916, and with the U.S. entrance into World War I, the top rate was pushed up to 67% in 1917 and 77% in 1918. Oh yeah, the top rate declined slightly to 73% in 1919. Oh, how nice. The corporate income tax also was increased, with the rate moving from 1% to 2% in 1916, 6% in 1917, 12% in 1918, and back a bit to 10% in 1919. Now, as for the economy during this period, real GNP, gross national product, which is how we measured the economy then, barely grew in 1913 by only 0.9%. And then it declined in both 1914 and 1915 by 4.4% and 0.9% respectively. After the war, again, the fighting ending at the end of 1918, the U.S. economy went into a depression, with real GNP declining by 3.6% in 1919, by 4.4% in 1920, I knew I was going to do that, and by 8.7% in 1921. It must be noted that after taxes and government spending were increased drastically during wartime, as well as during a deadly pandemic in which, according to the CDC, more than 50 million people perished globally, including 675,000 in the U.S., which had a population of 102 million in 1916, by the way, little was done to get matters back on track. While Congress deserved equal, if not more, blame, President Woodrow Wilson left office in March 1921 with one of the worst economies on record. So, in 1920, Warren G. Harding, a Republican U.S. Senator from Ohio, along with his running mate, Calvin Coolidge, governor of Massachusetts, won the race for the White House on a pledge of a, quote, return to normalcy, close quote. Which was what? It was a promise for a more limited government aligned with the Constitution and featuring reduced federal spending, tax reform, and reining in regulation on business. We'll look at key details of that in our next episode. Thanks for listening. By the way, please pick up the paperback or Kindle edition of my book, The Weekly Economist, 52 quick reads to help you think like an economist, and perhaps buy a copy for others in your life, especially high school and college students. Like and follow us on Facebook at Free Enterprise Economics and on Twitter at Free Enterprise 7. And please subscribe to the Free Enterprise in 3 Minutes podcast. Take care and hey, think more like an economist.